ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम् 7th कैंटो 6th चैप्टर टेक्स्ट 7। मुग्धस्य बाल्यकैशोरे क्रीडतो याति विंशति जरयाग्रस्तदेहस्य यात्यकल्पस्य विंशति मुग्ध। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation: in the tender age of childhood, when everyone is bewildered, one passes 10 years. Similarly, in boyhood, engaged in sporting and playing, one passes another 10 years. In this way, 20 years are wasted. Similarly, in old age, when one is invalid, unable to perform even material activities, one passes another 20 years wastefully. Purport: without Krishna consciousness, one wastes 20 years in childhood and boyhood and another 20 years in old age, when one cannot perform any material activities and is full of anxiety about what is to be done by his sons and grandsons and how one's estate should be protected. Half of these years are spent in sleep. Furthermore, one wastes another 30 years sleeping at night during the rest of his life. Thus, 70 out of 100 years are wasted by a person who does not know the aim of life and how to utilize this human form. Mugdhasya balye kaishore kridato yati vinshati jaraya grasta dehasya yati akalpasya vinshati. Prahlad is instructing his schoolmates, who are all the sons of the servants of Hiranyakashipu. Therefore, they are also called demoniac schoolmates. And he is about 5 to 6 years old. Similarly, are his friends. This is not some kind of a pensioners' club having a discussion. This is a 5-year-old boy, and he is giving this kind of understanding of life. The discussion began with, Srila Prabhupada paraphrases in the book Teachings of Prahlad Maharaj, that Prahlad's friends are saying, let's play, let's have fun. And Prahlad is saying, no, this is not the time for playing. Right from the beginning, Prahlad, Parikshit Maharaj, Jiva Goswami, many, many great devotees, their childhood is described as, they were not interested in frivolous sports. And this shows that there was some backlog of Krishna consciousness which was being exhibited in this life. So in today's verse, there is a very short purport. Prahlad is saying that in the tender age of childhood, when everyone is bewildered, one passes 10 years. Obviously, a 10-year-old, in the first 10 years of life, how can we expect even reasonable inquiry from a child? In fact, we are not talking of a spiritual education, we are talking of material education. And even in that regard, there are some people who have created so-called genius kids by giving them proper training and knowledge and guidance. Recently, we were traveling from Aurangabad to Parbani, and there was some delay because of a small railway mishap. So the train was delayed. Almost every station it was stopping. And a small kid, early in the morning, 5 o'clock, whatever would pass by, he would ask a question to his mother. And she got so frustrated. She said, now next question should be to your father. I can't take it. And then she made one of her old acquaintances, some schoolmate. And then they started chatting up so many things, the same school we visited, or the same neighborhood we grew up. And then she passed a comment that at this age, 6 to 7 years, these kids ask too many questions. And it's tough keeping up with them. So most of the time, the kids just stop asking questions. Every time you say, why, and the questions are innocent, at the same time they are like lateral thinking. Why can't two trains run on one track? Or why can't our train go on water? And these are, in one sense, they are foolish inquiries, because somebody who understands engineering technology won't ask such a question. But parents, when they can't keep up with that, the only response is, just shut up. Or you might say, you want a toy? You want to eat something? So even if we speak from a strictly material point of view, what Prabhupada calls relevant inquiry, that is not encouraged, because most parents themselves are not enlightened. So even if you want to be a bright kid, sort of, these experts, they recommend that, like I have seen, Gopi Parandan Prabhu, he had brought his small son, Gaur Mohan, here many years ago. And I don't know which particular question, but it was something about the Goswamis. For example, if he were to ask his father, how did Raghunath Das Goswami eat that dirty rice, which even cows would not eat? So, at the most, somebody would say, you know, because he's a pure devotee and for him it tasted nice. But I saw that Gopi Parandan Prabhu would give answer just as if some elderly person has asked a question. Whether his son would understand or not, that was not the matter. But the question was worthy of being answered properly. So many times, the early impressions which you carry in your childhood, they remain with you for the rest of your life. One devotee confessed that one day he had asked a question in his village school. See, this samskar is so deep. This is his village school. And he raised his hand for the first time very timidly. And the school teacher, mostly you are fortunate if you get sober school teachers in most of villages in all over India practically. And when he raised his hand, he asked a question. And the only response this teacher gave was, sit down. He said, from that time onwards, even in a Bhagavatam class, I can't dare raise my hand and ask somebody a question for fear of being said, just shut up, put down your hand. Now he knows this is a very amiable, you can say nourishing environment. Srila Prabhupada wanted that a temple should be like a university where you ask questions, you be satisfied. For example, Radhanath Maharaj said once that the Srimad Bhagavatam class where everybody comes, generally you have to reach to the level of the new student. Somebody could be very advanced. But the class has to grow from one spectrum to the other. It has to cover the full thing. But he said, for the ashram brahmacharis, you have your brahmachari class. You can go deep into one particular topic as much as you want. Even if only one person is interested, that inquiry has to be facilitated. So this bewilderment continues for 10 years. Life is absorbed in so many other things. Similarly, in boyhood, engage in sporting and playing. Now, after 10 years, your body develops. The hormones, they secrete so much of energy that you need to burn it off somewhere. So playing, and you pass 10 years like that. In this way, 20 years are wasted. That's Prahlad Maharaj's opinion. You frankly don't get anything out of it. Similarly, in old age, when one is an invalid, unable to perform even material activities. Now, these material activities can mean something social work, planting trees, gardening, to even taking care of your own self. Something like even going to the toilet. You might say, he goes on his own. He's quite fit. Somebody might say, two months ago I was having big problem, but now I can go on my own. I can do everything on my own. That's supposed to be an achievement. And in this way, one passes another 20 years wastefully. Now here, it's only vinchati, 40 years. Prabhupada gives a more deeper understanding of this. Prabhupada says here that another 30 years are also wasted when we sleep at night. Now for many, including myself, sleep was supposed to be a reward for all the day's work that you have done. Sleep is supposed to be the only solace you need after your exam is over, or holiday is equal to sleep. That was a clear-cut equation. And this is encouraged, at least in some college dorms, we have seen that there are heavyweight champions who can easily take a 24-hour sleep break. Like even if they are not actually sleeping, you just don't feel like getting out of bed. But this is what is meant by wasting your life. I was thinking as to how to make a beginning for this topic about wastage. And the very earliest reference to wasting one's time is when Shaunaka Rishi is addressing, this is from the Bhagavatam, Shaunaka Rishi is addressing 80,000 sages. And they say, Shaunaka Rishi is telling them, Shaunaka Vacha. Sorry, Shaunaka is asking Suta Goswami here. Shaunaka Vacha, Kasya Hetur Nijagraha Kalim Digvijaye Nripa Nardeha Chinna Drikshudro Shudra Kovasau Gambya Padanat. Kasya heto nijagraha? Why was the reason that Parikshit Maharaj, Nripa, while he was doing his Digvijay, he was going around his kingdom, what was the reason that he decided to punish Kali, who was Nirdeha Chinnadrik? He was wearing the clothes of a king, although a Shudra, and Gamya Padahanat. He was hitting. He already had crippled the bull and he was now about to assault the cow. Why did he do that? This could be one of the daily activities or one of the many activities a king has done in a year. Normally you have, in the absence of knowing about kings and their activities, we find, if we analyze deeply, human psyche, our mind, we want to know about the activities of someone more powerful than us. Nobody can say that he is immune to that. There are million-dollar celebrity magazines and they talk subjects like, how did the famous spend their summer holidays? What do they like to eat? What do they like to wear? What do they like to, how do they pass their time? How they waste their life practically. So they waste their life and you waste your money reading how they are wasting their life. People may not admit, but the inner thing is, we get attracted by us, by Aishwarya. Wherever there is an opulence of Krishna, whether knowledge, the lives of the knowledgeable, Viryasya, life of the physically powerful, Shriya, life of the physically beautiful, life of the physically wealthy, material wealth. And similarly, those who are renounced, even their life is like in a setup where renunciation is encouraged. We would like to know how Bhaktivinoda Thakur would lead his life. How Bhaktivinoda Thakur would lead his life. One of the earliest things which impressed me, I was thinking, how can a sadhu, how does he fill his day? What's there to be done? I mean, once you chanted. But now you know that once you get in the groove, 24 hours seem less. There is so much to do. Maharaj once said that Maharaj's father is a successful businessman. So he said, when are you coming? And 3-4 times he said, next time, next time, next time. And he said, make up your mind. What are you doing? He said, I'm busy. So he wrote back, you don't have a house. You don't have a business. You don't have a family. And what keeps you busy then? If you don't have any of these things, a house, business, family, you don't have any wishes for the future, what keeps you busy? it's a thing worth researching. What keeps a devotee busy? But in fact, those who are in that particular time schedule understand that time is short, isn't it? So much to do. So this Shaunak Rishi is asking Suta Goswami that you are telling me that the king is going and punishing someone because somebody has done something wrong. Kathyatam tat kathyatam mahabhaga yadi Krishna kathashrayam. He said, you might have a very good answer for this. A very interesting topic. You might have a full knowledge of why the king did that. Tat kathyatam mahabhag, O greatly fortunate Suta Goswami, tell us about those things yadi Krishna kathashrayam. The word used technically means if this topic has taken shelter of Krishna's topics. Yadi Krishna katha ashray. If your dealings have taken shelter of Krishna's topics, then we are interested. Otherwise, it could be like a very, very important topic, but spare us. We are not interested. And then he adds, Athavasya padam bhoja makarandaliham satam kimanyer asadalapair ayusho yad asadvaya. Athava asya padam bhoja. Otherwise, padam bhoja is lotus feet of Krishna. Makarand liham satam. Krishna's lotus feet. The lotus has madhu, honey in it. It's called padma madhu. Everything with Krishna is lotus. Lotus eyes, lotus hands, lotus feet. Because Krishna's abode, Golok Vrindavan, is like a lotus whorl. The pitha, as they called. Padma peet. That is a whorl. What is word? Whorl. W-H-O-R-L. So that's the Kamalasana. Of course, Brahma also is called Kamalasana because he also was born on a lotus, which came from the lotus navel of Vishnu. But Krishna's abode, Golok Vrindavan, is like a lotus. And Krishna never leaves that abode. You cannot detach Krishna and put him somewhere in the material world. So therefore, when Krishna descends, that whole whorl, as it is, descends in this material world. So technically speaking, Krishna never leaves his abode. Although for the sake of a merciful incarnation, his abode is now here. He never leaves it. Therefore, Krishna's lotus feet are always having that honey coming from it. And devotees are compared to expert bumblebees who hover around that and they drink of it. Athava asya padam bhoja makaranda liham satam. Satam, Vaishnavas are compared to bumblebees who lick that honey. Kim anyer asad alaper. Why waste time with anya topics, other topics? Ayusho yad asad vaya, which only waste one's life. That day Naji Prabhu was talking of time and money. Time is compared to money. But the big difference is money can be stored. Time can't. You give your money to someone and say, give me, this is 2000, give me 5000 after 5 years. No problem. He may invest it, that may grow. Time never grows. Today, currently there is a big money spinning topic called time management. Few honest time management speakers or consultants, they say, basically you never manage time. Time manages you. In the West, there is such a frustration with this understanding, and that the phrase is born, somehow you kill time. Have you heard of it? How was the cinema? Well, just good enough to kill time. That means you just go in a park and kill time. In India, we call it time pass. Isn't it? How was it? Was it TP kind of thing, time pass. But you don't pass time. Time passes you through different situations. You don't kill time. In the West, everything is more graphic. So it is kill time. Do you kill time? That might be your desire internally. But you can never actually kill time. Time always has a last laugh. Satsurup Maharaj once, either he wrote the poem or he quoted it, that an insect is trying to kill another insect. A lizard, a frog is trying to catch the insect. The frog catches the lizard. The snake catches the frog. The eagle catches the snake. Man kills the eagle. And time kills all. Nobody escapes. We are all forced to accept that we face old age or we face death. I could see from my own life at age 42, I don't know why I'm interested so much in health topics nowadays. If someone says you have blood pressure, and suddenly I'm interested, oh, I also was diagnosed, so what did you do? Like after one of our devotees had a heart attack, an actual myocardial infarction, as they say. Proper heart attack. That's not what it was. So the ashram is made up of segments, 20 to 30. And I could see the reactions. Between 20 to 30, the reaction was, health checkup for me? Come on. Nothing's wrong with me. 30 to 40 were, let's go. Let's be sage. Let's be wise. Unless something, if something comes up, it's better to mend it in the beginning. And after 40, some real signs came up and you are convinced that, oh, I have to take care of my health. So normally, after 20 till 30, the senses are very strong. The body can take any wear and tear. And you actually don't feel interested. If people are talking about some health topics, you feel this is for old people. One doctor was telling me that all the things which I learned in my college days, that high blood pressure is a problem above 60. After 10 years of practice, above 50. After 15 years of practice, above 40. So he says, all the things which we learn in medical college, they always keep on changing. Heart attack after 70, quite natural. After 60, frequently. After 50, oh. After 40, well, we do hear that. And after 30, sometimes it happens that like that too. So what this means is, we read about Kali Yuga as Manda Ayusha, Swalpa Ayusha, Prayana Alpa Ayusha, Swalpa, Alpa. And we see that in our own life. Here, Prahlad is talking of 100 years. No one even lives 100 years nowadays, practically. And we may say, well, in that book I saw somebody 103 years old. How many living in this room now, awake, know personally somebody? No, awake, not in that sense. Alert, and in sense. Know personally somebody who is 100 years old. Maybe one aunt somewhere in the villages or somebody here and there. So even those days are gone. Somebody at age 90, if somebody's uncle passed away. How old was he? 74. We approve it. Of course, time doesn't wait for our approval or something. The fact here is that we waste time. And of course, Srimad Bhagavatam, the whole focus is to make clear only two kinds of activities exist. Useful in Krishna's service, you have lived those years, you have lived that time. You have forgotten Krishna, that time is wasted. Simple. Bhagavatam doesn't have a very complicated way of time management. Very simple. Ayur harati vaipumsam udyan nastannat yannaso rite artham yat kshano nita yad uttama shloka vartaya. Ayur harati vaipumsam, the sun, by just setting and rising, it doesn't do anything, it just sets and rises, but it is robbing you, us, of every day. Ayur harati, haran, is like kidnapping or theft. But it says, except for those, who are those exceptions? Who spend their time discussing about uttama shloka, yada uttama shloka vartaya. So time spent in chanting Krishna's name, discussing Krishna, hearing about him, anything connected with Krishna, that is the time we actually live. That is the different period given, which actually you have lived. Otherwise, that time you have just lost. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, very famous for his own time management, materially speaking, and also for his very insightful writings. This is his prayer from the Gitavali, Arti Kirtan section. Sorry, this is from Sharanagati. Sharanagati, surrender to Krishna, is a dynamic process. The English word surrender is a static term. Like Japan surrendered after Hiroshima. Yes, they did. So if you say, well, about 12 years ago I had surrendered. Honestly, I heard a lecture, it was very nice, and that day I surrendered. But no, surrender unto Krishna, the word has gati into it, sharanagati, speed, velocity, acceleration. It is, the other word is prapadyate. What of this? Prapadyate, prapatti. Prapada, you take one step after another, you keep on doing it. So there are six symptoms of surrender, six aspects of surrender. One is dainya. Then there is avashya rakshibe krishna vishwasa palan, that krishna will take care of me no matter what. Goptrutve varanam, taking shelter of krishna. Accepting things favorable, rejecting things unfavorable. So these are the various ways in which a devotee expresses his sharanagati. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying here, Bhuliya tomare samsare asiya, peye nana vidya vyatha, tomara charane asiya chiyami, bolibo dukher katha. If this is how an old man at the fag end of his life is taking a stock of his life, so Bhaktivinoda Thakur is taking that position. I forsook you, I gave you up. Bhuliya tomare. Gaudiya philosophy says, why are we in this material world? Who put us in? Maya. Maya is very strong. Just like there is this prison house. A prison house is very strongly built, impregnable probably. You can't go out of it. But you don't have an attraction for it. Like a strong attraction drove me into the prison. No. Forcefully you were accosted. You were arrested. Why was that? Some act you did made government's forces arrest you. Similarly, Krishna doesn't put us in this material world. Maya doesn't put us in this material world. But we have a desire for independent sense gratification. And just see, that small desire, it grows into a full-fledged will, thinking, feeling, willing. First we think of it, then we feel, then we will. And when that will becomes strong, we find ourselves suddenly in shackles. So he's saying, I am just relating my woeful story. Janani jathare chilam jakhon bisham bandhan paashe, ek bar prabhu dekha diya more, vanchile e dina dase. While I was in a fetal position, very much shackled, that day we were traveling in Tapovan Express, and you get the experience of this fetal position traveling for almost 6 to 8 hours. So you can imagine being in that position for 9 months and you can't even complain. Once Krishna reveals himself to you. If you remember, Krishna showed himself to Narad Muni. It was a free sample. He didn't pay for it. And next moment Narad Muni heard these words, now you will never see me again this whole life. And Acharya explained, why Krishna would do something like that? That is just to increase your longing. Krishna never forsakes us. If he forsakes us, it's finished. As Paramatma, he is Surid Sattama. You get good friends, good helpers, good well-wishers. But Surid, one who is closest to your heart, and the best of the closest to the hearts, is actually Paramatma. He never ever ever leaves the company of the soul. So the soul, especially in the human form of life, once gets a glimpse of Krishna, he promises him, I promise, once I come out, I'll only perform bhajan and will do what you want. I'll perform welfare for my own and I'll be happy. I'll make you happy too. Takhona bhavinu janama paiya karibo bhajana tava, janama hoilo podi maya jale na hoilo jnana lava. I promise you so much, but once I took birth, podi maya jale, I went into this illusion net, and what to speak of half knowledge or three-fourths? Not even an iota of knowledge I could gather about you. And he explains why. Adarera chele swajanera kole hasiya katanu kal, janaka janani snehete bhuliya samsara lagilo bhal. That adarera chele, small cute boy, baby, bonny baby. You get your pictures in newspapers, awards. Everyone likes to carry you. You become the object of attraction. Everybody says, how nice your cheeks. How they They praise you so much. That is the adarera chele, swajanera kole, on the lap of your relatives. Hasiya katanu kal. How nicely he laughs. You know, he laughs just like someone, or his smile is so enchanting. Janaka janani snehete bhuliya. Father, mother, they shower affection. Samsara lagilo bhal. You feel life is not that bad. Life's good. Krame dina dina balaka hoya khelinu balaka saha ara kichu dine jnana upajilo pathapodi aharaha. You become a boy. This is the first 10 years. And now you are have sporting affinities, you have so many other things. Then you come to know that if you study and you become good in school, you can make it in life. Yes, that's the goal. Vidyara gaurave bhrami deshe deshe dhana uparjana kori swajana palana kori ekamane bhulino tumaro hari. Vidyara gaurave, just two words, he has captured the essence. Why is knowledge cultivated nowadays? Not for knowledge's sake. Vidyara gaurave, for the reputation. I remember once in KM college, I had asked some boys there, how many of you were feeling this from your bottom of your guts, that I want to become a doctor? And they were like, come on. One boy raised his hand. I said, yes, you actually felt the calling of the medical profession. He said, look, try to understand. Me and my brother, one cousin brother, we are always strong competitors. And we both got cleared. We were both top students. I cleared my CET for medical as well as engineering. So he went for engineering, so I said, well, I don't want him his company. So I took medical. I said, no, what about, you know, those previous doctors? We had some doctor ki Amar Kahani, you know, his old time's sake, that he felt that I have to serve humanity like that. The joy in relieving somebody's distress or discovering some rare new virus or bacteria, bacillus, and doing some research. And this was practically Greek to these boys. They didn't understand his language even. They were saying, no. At least KM, you don't have to pay big capitation fees, but other colleges, just pay a huge bunch of fees and get out, start your own dispensary hospital somewhere and start making money. So this is Vidyara Gaurave. Or even engineers, you know, are you fascinated by the prospect of, you know, constructing something? Or for computer engineers, write your code. Don't follow anybody's footsteps. Make your own path. Hardly. Just go there and do whatever your boss says and satisfy him temporarily, and he will satisfy you by giving you your salary. That's all. So Vidya or Gaurava, even that Gaurava is now gone. You just have this attraction for what finally it boils down to. Money. That's all. And in the last stanza he's saying, Bardhakya ekhon bhakti vinod kandiya katar ati. So now, my dear Lord, I can only cry. Na bhajiya tore dina britha gelo ekhona ki habe gati. Without worshipping you, all these days have gone. I'm fearful about the outcome. Like normally those who are average students, I could count myself also, you have a healthy respect for the subject because you don't understand it. And just before the exam, you have this last line, ki hobe gati. What's going to happen tomorrow? Will it go my way? Will it go that way? And kandiya katar ati. You cry and you really wish God to help you. Just this time, just this instance, Please, if there is a God, please help me. I promise. You can make all the promises you want when you are caught in the pincer of that particular thing. And of course, the day the exam is over,
A book goes flying out of the window. Now, why do we have to read these kind of purports in Srimad Bhagavatam? We can easily talk of, you know, sweet, sweet pastimes or other things. But just I would like to draw attention once again. These are not old people speaking here. These are five-year kids. And Prahlad expects them to understand that this is what generally life is. So, following in the footsteps of Shaunak Rishi, that however interesting something might be, in fact, he has that, he put that statement, he made it, tell us only if it is relating to Krishna. And in this way we can avoid wasting our life. Of course, one aspect of this paropkar is, as Prabhupada said, if you don't waste your life, you teach others how they should not. And by doing that, automatically you will not be wasting your life, because at least that one function you have to perform, you have to teach Krishna consciousness to others. Not in the mood of an avatar, not in the mood of some emancipator or a salvationist. But I want to speak, like there is a statement in Srimad Bhagavatam, I want to keep on speaking Srimad Bhagavatam so that my tongue is engaged. Jivva asati darduri keva suta. Suta Goswami is told that our tongues are like unchaste women. If they are not controlled, they might go and get attracted to anyone. So no, the moment the tongue wants to speak on some topic, it is compared to that it gets attracted to something. So to prevent that, you keep on engaging yourself in Krishna Katha, teaching others about Krishna Katha, and in this way you save your life from being wasted. So we'll stop here. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srila Radha Gopinath ki, Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam.